Hello, and welcome back to our Language and Linguistics Department's podcast series, where we talk about all things linguistic. The content will include fascinating interviews with staff and students. Here we explore different issues within languages and linguistics. It is a podcast made by students, for students. Hope you enjoy. Now, let's hop into the second episode of the series. The topic is idioms. Break a leg. I'm feeling under the weather. I was just pulling your leg. We've all heard those phrases, some more often than others, but where do the English sayings and idioms come from? What about other languages? But what exactly is an idiom? It is a word, or more often a phrase, in which the actual meaning is different than the literal meaning of the words. There are approximately 25,000 idioms in the English language alone. Idioms can have many different origins, often lost to time. The same thing can be said in a totally different way in different languages. For example, the English phrase to kick the bucket, which means that someone has died, could be translated into the Polish phrase to kick the calendar, or Ukrainian to cut the oak, presumably to build the coffin. It can be very interesting to learn where certain idioms come from. Though many don't have clear-cut answers and some are obvious, we can track down the stories behind quite a few of them. Here are some idioms which origins may surprise you. One of the most interesting origins to an idiom is the story behind the English phrase to turn a blind eye, which means to ignore something. Supposedly during the Battle of Copenhagen in 1801, the commander of the British forces, Admiral Sir Hyde Parker, signaled through a system of signal flags to Admiral Horatio Nelson, who was blind in one eye, to stop attacking a fleet of Danish ships. Admiral Nelson raised the telescope to his blind eye and said, "I really do not see the signal," and continued attacking. He succeeded and became commander-in-chief of the fleet. Another interesting story is the one behind the idiom to be caught red-handed, which means to be caught in the act of doing something wrong. It refers to an old 15th century English law that sought the punishment of any person who butchered an animal that didn't belong to them. However, in order to be convicted, that person had to be caught with the animal's blood still on their hands, meaning they were caught red-handed. The origin of the phrase to bite the bullet, meaning to accept something unpleasant or difficult, is hard to believe. It was first written down in 1891 in a novel, The Light That Failed. Supposedly during a war or in times that doctors didn't have anesthesia, they would ask the patients to bite down on a bullet to distract them from pain. And the last one today is the story behind the idiom to steal somebody's thunder, which means to steal somebody's idea. John Dennis, an English playwright, claimed to have invented a machine that imitated the sound of thunder for one of his plays. However, his rivals copied this machine and popularized it in their production of Macbeth. When Dennis heard of it, he accused them of stealing his thunder. Any second language learner will tell you that idioms are the toughest to translate. Attempting to translate some of the English phrases such as "it's raining cats and dogs" or "I've got time to kill" just doesn't work and can lead to serious misunderstandings. Translating most idioms literally just leads to confusion. There are, however, times where it does work and you are left to wonder if you've just made a mistake or if you really got that lucky. One of the idioms I've stumbled upon that is identical in two languages is the English to have butterflies in your stomach, which translates literally into Polish mieć motyle w brzuchu and means exactly the same thing. In such situations, one is left to wonder how it came to be. Some linguists speak about spontaneous metaphorization, which is that human experience makes us naturally translate real-life situations into the same phrases across different cultures. Others chalk it up to calques, that is, loan translations, which is when a speaker takes a phrase and translates it literally into a different language. There is also a theory of a shared ancestral language, which would explain the similarities. It is also entirely possible that all of those theories have a little bit of truth in them. When learning foreign languages at school, especially English in my personal experience, a great importance is put on learning idioms. But why do we use them? What do they give us? Experts say that they are not used just for fun, even though they can be a humorous way of expressing one's thoughts. Idioms are an important part of how we communicate. Some people suggest that the use of idioms is evidence that we, as humans, are not meant to function on only literal, logical basis. They say that our use of language reflects how complex we are. And now let's have a talk about some differences and similarities between sayings and idioms in different languages. Hello, guys.
Hi. Hello.
So we're gonna be talking about idioms today.
Hi, my name is Zrusne and I'm from Lithuania, and I was told to be the first one to do this. So the first saying that we have, the idiom, it's about people when they say that we don't go crazy. We say that our roof drives away. And in Lithuania, it would sound like stogas nuvažiuoja. And I think, did you say that it's like something like that in Polish as well?
We are saying to a person who's acting crazy, we are saying they're missing their fifth plank. And yeah. There is also a saying from Russian that gets translated into Polish and used sometimes, which is you look at a person in a very judging way and you say, is everybody home? To imply that they're talking crazy.
So, hello, I'm Edgar. Actually, in French, we say something similar. We're saying that when someone goes crazy, that he doesn't have all the lights on at every floor. So it's pretty similar to what you were saying.
We have a saying as well. We say something that when we really enjoy the view, but it's usually when we talk about the person, so we look at the person and say that we like the view. We say that we're swallowing them with our eyes, which in Lithuania would sound ryte akimis. So it's like sort of when you fancy someone, you would say, I'm swallowing them with my eyes. But you also, I think you can say about nature as well. Yeah, and I think you said something in French as well.
So yeah, so it's not swallowing. We would say drowning. So, yeah, if you're like in love with someone and you're like, they just attract you so much, so you would be drowning into their eyes.
Yeah, we were talking before the podcast that it's quite poetic, isn't it?
It really is.
But yeah, we would like to say something.
In Portuguese, we'd say that someone's eating them with their eyes.
Okay.
It's swallowing, eating them.
Like, it's kind of in a dirty way, so yeah. not in love, just there.
Speaking of dirty mind, we don't say that a person has a dirty mind. We say that the person has curly thoughts. In Lithuanian, it would sound garbanotos mintis,
okay.
Which is basically curly thoughts. And you said something?
Yeah, I said in Polish, we say, I guess it would translate to having fairy thoughts. It's kosmate myśli. So it's like hairy, but for an animal. So I guess a furry thoughts.
Okay.
Yeah, also about, so we don't say to people, we don't say that people like lie to you. We say that a person is hanging pasta on our ears, which would sound kabinta makaronus.
Oh my God.
And yeah.
That's very interesting. I wonder where it came from.
It's a good question, actually.
Yeah, Edgar, you said you have something.
Yeah, so whenever someone's telling lies, we will be saying someone's telling lettuce, literally lettuce. I don't know why it's like that, but it's raconter des salades. I don't know why, but that's how it is. Yeah.
One of the like funnier ones as well, we have when somebody hurts themselves, we say, don't worry, it will heal till wedding. So it sounds nesiauden ikivestuve ujges, which is because we know like during your wedding day you have to like look presentable and good, so we say don't worry till the wedding it will heal. And you also, I think you mentioned that Polish have something.
Yeah,
or
Polish
Russians
has
as well?
Polish has exactly the same thing. It's in Polish. It's do wesela się zagoi. And the funny thing is, for the longest time, I never thought about it. That it means that it will heal until mm-hmm. the wedding. It's just something you say very fast. Yeah.
Speaking about hurting yourself.
Oh my God.
I like that. When a child falls down, we like to say, oh, did you catch a rabbit?
And it's so rude to the child.
And if the child fell down, like quite heavily and hurt themselves quite heavily as well, we say, oh, did you catch a big rabbit? Also, we don't say that we understand the meaning of something. We can say that, but the idiom for that would be catch the corner. Mm. But then again, it's not really usable. Like if I said that in front of my Lithuanian teacher, she would say that I should not use this.
It's considered
a slang.
It's considered not correct.
Yeah. It's like catch the corner.
It's also interesting. It's interesting that some things are obviously used by people, but considered not correct.
Mm. Yeah.
But all of the language.
Yeah, it's like
thought up.
It's like we have in Lithuanian we sometimes say jo as yes, which is not actually a word in our language. Mm-hmm. I think it came like from Scandinavia. Mm. But we use it, and our Lithuanian teachers are mad as well about this.
So. Yeah.
We do have the same in French. We use English words mm-hmm. like inside the French language, and so there's lots of people in France who are like angry about it because mm-hmm. we'll be using like, you know, the word cool or like yeah, mm-hmm. and people will be like mad, proper mad about it.
We also, when Lithuanian kids go to the bathroom, we don't say, oh, let's go to the bathroom. We say that the kid is going to visit the dwarves.
It's very cool.
Which is Eitipus Nixtokos.
That's a bit concerning.
It's not concerning. I think it's quite, I don't know, it's playful.
Yeah.
And the last one is we say for people who don't close the doors behind them, we say, were you born in trolleybus? For those who don't know, trolleybus is it's like electric bus. I don't know if it's very popular.
It's a bit like a tram, something between a bus and a tram. So it has wheels, but it's connected by wires above, like
yeah.
a tram.
Yeah.
And the door
automatically
closes. We have a saying for the same situation in Polish. If somebody doesn't close the door behind them, you ask them if they were born in a barn.
Which is very interesting because I don't really catch the meaning. Like for me, I understand automatic door, right? But to be born
yeah,
in
but
a barn.
Don't you close, like I imagine if you have a barn.
There's no need to close the door?
No, maybe? Exactly. I think there is.
Oh
no, there? Maybe if you have a barn.
I don't know. Bia, you said you have something similar.
Yeah, no, it's like when someone's being like rude, we just ask them if they were born in a barn.
Okay.
All right. Edgar?
Yeah, I have something. When we forgot to turn off the lights at our house, we'll be saying we're not living in Versailles because it's very it's a very fancy place and it's usually very lightful. Yeah. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's similar.
In French, when someone is telling us to do something that appears not to be too so hard, they'll be saying, oh, mate, don't worry, it's not the sea to drink. So there would be c'est pas la mer à boire. And it's very, like, you can see it whenever you say it. You're like, okay, I don't have to drink the whole Mediterranean sea to do something.
That's...
So we were talking about food earlier. So let's say if someone is annoying me, I would say they are running on my bean. It's nothing sexual, but it's courir sur le haricot, and we would use it when someone is just being a pain.
Yeah, we say, like in English, you say to get on somebody's nerves. We say exactly the same thing in Polish. Maybe it's a calc from English. I don't know,
to be honest.
Oh, when it comes to calcs, so translating literally, I think, Rusna, you said that you have the saying that's pot calling the kettle black.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we wondered if it's translated from English, because in English it comes from an early English translation from the Don Quixote.
Yeah. We were wondering.
We have not found out.
I think we're talking about English idioms. One in French that is very close to what English has is whenever you're talking to someone about something that is very private and you don't want anyone to hear about it, you would be saying, "Oh, watch out, walls may have ears." It's a way of saying, "Be careful what you're saying, people may hear it." And I think in English it's, "If walls could talk," something like that.
We have the same in Portuguese.
How is it?
Yeah, the walls have ears.
Okay. How is it in Portuguese?
As paredes têm ouvidos.
Okay.
Yeah, in Polish we have exactly the same. An interesting saying in Polish is for example, if you want to meet with friends and they keep putting off the meeting and finally you get fed up with it and they say, "Oh, maybe next week," to say that it's very not probable and probably never gonna happen, you say, "And on the December afternoon," yeah, sure, "on the December afternoon," which is very funny. And in Russian, which I'm not going to try to say in Russian, they say,
"Try."
No.
I would pay to listen.
They say, "After rain on Thursday," which means exactly the same thing.
Hmm. Why Thursday, though?
Just a random day.
We say on the 31 of February or in the day of St. Neva afternoon.
Yeah. Very cool.
We say it from the different point of view. We don't say that something like impossible, but we say that nothing is going to happen until something. So we say, "It's not going to happen until pigs are going to start flying." And in Lithuania it would sound, "This will be happening only kai kiaulės pradės skraidyti."
That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
So we have the same thing in French, when exactly the same idea with animals, but we'll be saying whenever chicken will have teeth.
Same in Portuguese.
I have an image in my head.
I know.
It's a scary image.
So disturbing.
Yes, it is. Gave me nightmare when I was a child. We'll be saying something, let's say, "You're not surprised that you're acting like your parents are acting." We'll be saying that dogs are not breeding cats. Les chiens ne font pas des chats, which literally mean, because of my parents, I'm going to be the same as them, you know, like it's like similar.
It's kind of a more negative version of apple does not fall far from the tree, which is exactly the same in Polish.
Yeah.
And Lithuanian.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, like two bad people get together, just like, and make a family. We just say that at least they're only ruining a house.
Okay.
Oh, that's so awful.
We are awful indeed. Oh, do you also know when in English they say it's a piece of cake?
Yeah.
We say it's chicken soup.
Okay.
Why chicken soup?
To mean...
Because it tastes nice. I don't know.
To mean that something's very easy.
Yeah.
A bit similar to the one wanting to say that, "Oh, it's never gonna happen," or "It doesn't happen until something." We have a saying to mean that something happens very rarely.
Mm-hmm.
Like in English, you say "once in a blue moon."
Mm-hmm.
In Polish, you say "once in a Russian year."
Okay.
And I believe it's because of the difference in the calendar, because of the different churches.
Okay.
But I'm not quite sure.
Hmm. Whenever you're doing something overkill, pursuing something, we would be saying in French, "Il ne faut pas pousser mémé dans les orties," which literally means we shouldn't push grandma in the nettles.
You should not do that.
It's pretty funny.
Please, kids, don't try this at home.
Parental.
Do not throw grandma in the nettles. Please do not.
We have a saying in our language. When we say that the person gets a bit ahead of themselves, so where they, when they say like, oh, I'm going to do that, and or like they have a huge task ahead of them and they already are very like, feels like they already finished it. We have a saying which sounds like, we say, don't say op before you jump over the ditch.
Mm-hmm.
So in Lithuanian sounds, neperšokas grovio nesakyk op.
Mm.
Yeah, we have a very similar thing. We say, don't say hop until you've jumped over.
Wow, okay.
Yeah. Nie mów hop, zanim nie przeskoczysz.
We have in Portuguese, don't put the carriage in front of the horses.
Yeah. We do have the same in French, but it's not horses, it's bulls.
Oh, yeah, that's, I don't know. It's like anything that pushes a carriage.
Exactly.
We were talking before this podcast about how me as a Lithuanian and you as Polish and then these two great guys here, French and Portuguese, we had this theory that between Lithuanian and Polish we might find more similar idioms, as in like our languages are way more closer than like mine and like French, mm-hmm. or Portuguese. And we had this theory that maybe between you two there would be more like similar idioms because it's like Romanic languages as
definitely,
well.
Definitely, yeah.
Yeah, so I found it quite interesting because now we talk about it and and every time I would say a certain idiom, you would say
mm-hmm.
something that, oh, it sounds like something I could say in Polish or in Russian actually.
Yeah.
So then we would talk about maybe with history and everything, there might be some... like the reason why there's a certain idioms.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think it checked out
in, while we were it's like very now. Interesting how in this podcast now, at this episode, we have like two people who have quite similar ones and then mm-hmm. another two people who have quite similar ones as well.
Yeah, because you, Edgar and Bia, you did go often, oh yeah, it's almost exactly the same.
Maybe because we have like some common history, I don't know.
Yeah. Still not Latin languages.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. Earlier on the podcast, I was saying about why some are very similar, and it's mm-hmm. often either from translating literally, or is it just from general human experience mm-hmm. and our just our ways of putting certain situations, real life situations, to our language metaphorically.
Mm-hmm.
And I also find it quite fascinating that some of the sayings, as you mentioned, for example, Don Quixote as well, it comes from like classic literature.
A lot of it.
I don't know. I find it quite fascinating, to be fair.
Yeah.
I mean, I would say like back in the days, they were the only way for people to get out of their common life, you know, just books. So it makes sense that there would be references
books and
to
theater.
That.
Yeah, but just it's very interesting how it integrates into society, because obviously this is like classic literature, but then I feel like we could always and also find examples where maybe from modern literature as well, there's some quite few sayings.
An interesting thing, not literature. If you know it's not exactly a saying or an idiom, but you know, bucket list.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it's for people who don't know, it's a list of things you would like to do tragically before you die. And everybody seems to think that it's an old saying, but it comes from so there is an old saying in English that I might have mentioned before, that is to kick the bucket, which means that somebody has died. And then somebody made a movie. There is a movie Bucket List, but people assumed they already knew what it meant before, but they didn't. It wasn't a saying until after the movie, which the movie was supposed to be titled something like the however many things I want to do before I kick the bucket list. And then they were like, oh, it's way too long. It's not gonna catch on. Let's just call it Bucket List. And now people know what it means, but the movie's from 2007.
Wow, okay.
Yeah.
It's just how culture is being integrated in society. It's a very interesting topic.
Yeah, but people think, especially like older people think they've knew the saying before.
Mm-hmm.
But if you go even on a way to check it is check if a phrase has been mentioned on Google before, it doesn't appear once before 2007.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
I think history can also make like idioms. You know, like when Portugal and Spain had kings, I mean Spain still has kings. But like when we both had kings, it was like they just married each other. So at the point the family tree was just a circle.
Mm. But we just it called them.
So we say that from Spain, nor good winds, nor good marriages. Ooh. Because they never ended well.
Thank you guys very much for coming in today.
Thank you.
Thank you
no
so much.
No worries.
And just like this, we've come to the end of the second episode. Thank you for listening and hope you enjoyed. Stay tuned for more.